Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fight's historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. Thanks for joining us.
She is... Or something. I can't remember exactly.
I feel like I know I could have done that better, but I'm still delighted because that's very funny. Thank you, Producer Rich. Thank you. And thanks to all of you for joining us for yet another week of Thing Spotting.
Things are everywhere, folks. If you don't believe us, look outside right now. There's one.
There's another one.
There goes another one. Now, if you're like, wait a minute, I don't see him. Well, that's no problem. We'll train you up in Thing Spotting right here in this
spaceship. See our extensive back catalog full of things. There are these things and that things, those things, and some more things. You will love
horizontal fences, a classic.
The things.
Say,
so good.
Have you noticed lately that trailers tend to have slow, moody versions of popular songs?
Have I freaking ever? And they're like kind of creepy and they're acoustic, but it's a rock song. Oh, my biscuits. This is such a thing. I'm trying to think of the one that I just heard the other day. Oh, what was it? Now I have to look.
There's too many. I can't imagine which one you're particularly thinking of.
I know,
they are
but
everywhere.
It was like
Candyman, for instance, had Say My Name, Destiny's Child, in its trailer.
Yep. Yep. But it was like, Say My Name. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right, I assume. Yep. I'm just assuming because of the ones I've seen. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
It's not a coincidence. Variety has an article that this is done on purpose. It's called trailerizing a song. They do it specifically for trailers. I think there are examples in the past where someone had done an alternate version and somebody picked it up and put it in a trailer. But these days, it's worked so well. They do it on purpose. They find bands that are starting out. They pay them to make the slow, moody version of Sgt. Pepper's or whatever it is they're throwing in there. They've apparently entirely reworked ELO's whole discography as part of this. And it works because people are so used to trailers, they kind of don't pay as close attention anymore because they're everywhere. And so the song catches them because they're like, wait a minute, I know these lyrics. And
wow,
it forces people to pay attention and makes them enjoy the, because they had a little discovery as part of watching that trailer.
Right. And they're like, I totally know that song. It's called trailerizing a song, apparently. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. It even has a name. Wow. This is a good one because I have definitely heard this. I know that I heard. In fact, I think Candyman is probably the one that I'm thinking of because I was like, oh, my God, I know that song. And it's so slow and creepy. And then I had to close my eyes and fast forward. But that is very funny. And at
We've
Porter
now said that
in
Candyman
our Discord
twice,
says,
neither one of us are looking in a mirror. I just want to reassure the audience.
I'm sorry. I cannot believe that they just like screwed another generation of kids out of anything close to, you know, peace and sanity.
Yeah. Around mirrors.
Movie's not okay. Not okay. At Porter in the Discord says Dune apparently did it with Pink Floyd. See, nope. I will hang up. I will hang up this Skype. I will do it. I will put down the headphones
right around.
And walk away. I'll turn this podcast right around.
Unacceptable. Oh, my dear.
I love this, though. I love it. Writing exercise, they call it. That's so funny. So good. Apparently, Sony has just acquired Paul Simon's songbook, and they're planning to trailerize the bejesus out of it. Get ready.
You can call. I have to finish off this with this quote from Jonathan McHugh, music supervisor and founding member of the Guild of Music Supervisors, told Variety, in a 2-minute trailer, people are assessing whether or not they want to see the film. It's all about manipulating the emotions of the viewer with music that is provocative while still showing the action and getting the message across. Audiences familiar with the song will remember it, and younger people will say, I discovered this.
Wow. Younger people. I discovered this. No.
Step I made back. This.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I really like it. All right. Well, my first thing is a little bit overdue because this, I think, has been kicking around for quite a while. But now I'm starting to see it on literally every like magazine that has a picture of a backyard. It's in all the makeover shows. And it is the portable outdoor pizza oven.
Oh, please. How much? Where do I get it?
Right. Oh, well, good. Do I have the link for you? Because the one that really seems to be taking over the most is the Uni Koda gas pizza oven for $350.
O-O-N-I.
O-O-N-I. And then K-O-D-A 12. The Uni Koda 12 gas pizza oven. Then you can make authentic stone-baked pizzas outside, but you don't have to have like a big, huge wood-fired you know, pizza oven. There's the Uni Pro, I think, but then this one is a little bit cheaper. Yeah, there are a bajillion of them.
Now, when you say gas, what are we talking?
Is like it propane. Like
same thing you'd do on a grill if you had a propane. All right. I was kind of hoping for butane because it's easier to mess with, but yeah, I mean, I got propane, so.
I mean, maybe it's butane. I'm sure that you could find a butane one.
Yeah,
I
don't probably see wouldn't why work not. As well for pizza. You probably need more heat. That's my guess.
The Uni Pro is the one that everybody is like going crazy about in the Discord, which is true. But that is A, currently unavailable, and B, I think significantly more expensive. And it's like big. I'm talking about what it looks like, a little tabletop outdoor pizza oven.
Yeah,
and
this is what's beautiful about this is it's smaller than my fire pit. You know, that above ground fire pit, but also warms you and gives you pizza. So everybody wins.
Warms you and gives you pizza. And they can get hot, yeah. Like 800 degrees, like hot. Let's see. I'm going to see how big the Uni Koda can get. 932 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's
it
hot.
It can cook a 13-inch pizza in 1 minute. So if you've been watching that Stanley Tucci show where he goes around Italy and speaks Italian and is just so like fussy and charming, and all the places they cook the pizza in 1 minute, you need this.
1 minute pizza.
1 minute pizza. And then you get your pizza peel. No, these things are like, I keep seeing them everywhere. And about the third time that I got, you know, a magazine that was like, how to make your backyard look amazing with this wooden, this thing and a chair that costs $1,200. And they all had this thing in the background. And I was like, okay, I get it.
I clicked on the Amazon link you included, and frequently bought together, in my view, is this and a contact-free thermometer, which I know is for the pizza oven to like, how hot does it get? But it makes me think like, well, yeah, if you're having people out, you know, in your outdoor pizza party, you'll want to check
that. You're going to just beep, boop, boop, boop. That is dark and hilarious and a comment for our special time indeed. Oh my god, it comes with a carrying cover so that you could take it to someone else's house and impress them.
Make sure to cool it down first.
I mean, this is like a good I have to stop talking now. Yes, as producer Rich says, how to make your backyard look like Instagram. 100%.
Why did you have to stop talking?
Because I totally know who I'm getting this for.
Aha! Okay, gotcha. Well, my other thing this time is the trend of small versions of bigger stores. And what looks to me like the modern version of the old catalog store. When I was growing up, we had a JCPenney catalog store in town where you could stop by and order things from the JCPenney catalog and pick them up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Huh.
They had a few models.
That's what the Amazon Prime store is now.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And Nordstrom Local was the example I saw recently that reminded me of this. This is a Nordstrom in a smaller shop, like a Madewell or a, you know, that size of a shop, a Zara size shop, but it's Nordstrom and it's specifically, even though they have some things in there, it's specifically meant for you to order online and pick up or do returns.
Yeah, this is amazing. Get your alterations, get some free styling help. Wow. It's like a kiosk version of Nordstrom.
Yeah, but it's not outside like a kiosk. It's walk-in. You know, it's a small storefront. Maybe a cell phone store size would be the way to think of it.
Yeah. Why? I wonder why this is such a thing. Because like Whole Foods has that one that's sort of millennial-ish, that's smaller. Mm-hmm. There's, of course, the Amazon Prime store, which is definitely the catalog store. And then I like this idea that they're just like, you know what? I know. You don't want to have to go somewhere and park and find your way all the way to the desk. Maybe stores just maybe no one likes big box. Maybe we want little box.
I think with all the online going on, it's a way to say, look, we want to facilitate you buying online. We don't want you buying from Amazon. We want you buying from us. So let's up our service. Let's do something where you can do alterations, you know, where you can easily return and swap things out. And especially for people who don't have secure or easy ways to get packages delivered, you could have them delivered there and pick them up there. There's all kinds of benefits from it, which I know Amazon has its lockers and stuff like that too. But this is a good example of retail, not just sitting back and waiting to die, but saying like, look, let's adapt. This is what our customers want.
That is really clever. Sharon Marie says, yes, if I need help, I want to talk to a person. And Nordstrom in particular is like their whole deal is we're super good at service. And so to make a whole store just so that it can be easier for you to, wow, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah,
but also it is on trend for other things too.
Manhattan Beach, California, which is, Manhattan Beach is a cute little beachside town, nice little walkable. I would call it a downtown, but it's so close to the beach that it feels like it's crazy to think of it as it's downtown, but I guess it is. And they have a Nordstrom local there. And I was like, ooh, Nordstrom? How do you fit a whole Nordstrom in one of these tiny little like downtown shoppies? And I was like, oh, right. It's not a whole store. Not even meant to be.
I would bet that the real estate is pretty inexpensive as well. Apparently, starting in around 2019.
Manhattan Beach is pricey.
Oh, yeah, true. Target opened like 300... are 100 mini stores, apparently.
So this is a step down from the city Target? Like even tinier?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Or maybe city Targets are mini Targets.
But you're definitely getting that move. Like city Targets came on the scene, I don't know what, 6 or 7 years ago, maybe more. Mm-hmm. As sort of like trying to bring retail into pricier, smaller environments. But This is taking it to a whole other level here, I think.
It really is. Very clever. I like it a lot. I also like those Amazon Prime stores. I make no bones about it because they're so perfectly curated that everything in there is something I want because they already know.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of commentary about this except to say, yes, Gen Zs and millennials, I see you. I know that I am still using the crying laughing emoji and you think I'm such a dork and that you're cooler because you're using the upside down face, the emoji of choice for today's young, cool people. I don't know if I'm ready to adopt it yet, but I want you to know I noticed.
So
the upside down face
skull,
is the new
skull used for laughing. Cowboy hat used for awkward smile. Ha ha ha. What's upside down face?
Upside down face is like sarcasm or I'm just joking or I'm sort of being funny.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's basically
there's that
smiley
line
face.
Between I'm just joking. It's that I'm just joking.
Yeah. It's like, it's just silly. I think it really started as sarcasm, like a version of our good old Sark Mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the day.
All right.
And now it's just like, I'm just being funny.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
I'm just being so silly. Aren't I so silly?
Upside down, silly. All right. I have taken the skull and the cowboy hat smiley, and I respond to people older than me with them. Because
what's the cowboy hat again?
The cowboy hat is kind of that, like, it's kind of, I'm being silly also, but it's kind of like the awkward, embarrassed, like, I guess, ha ha ha.
Oh, I didn't even know that one. That's amazing.
I thought we talked about that here.
I'm just kind of a goofball.
Maybe I found that somewhere else.
Just kind of a cowboy goofball.
But yeah, so I assume if I do it with someone younger than me, I'll do it wrong and I'll look a fool somehow because I don't really live it, right? I just hear about it, but I do it to older people because then it'll just confuse them. Mm-hmm. And then if they ask,
and then you'd be like, oh, I'm
so
cool.
If they ask their kids, they'll be like, yeah, Dad's skull means a laughing. Huh.
Producer Rich says he is using the upside down smiley face for hopeless desperation, which is simultaneously a joke, but kind of awesome. Like, I sort of want to start using it in that way.
Right. And it fits in the sarcasm, just joking, quiet desperation.
Quiet desperation.
Continuum.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Yeah. No trenchant commentary here. Not even any shopping. Just so you know, when the kids send it to you. Just like how you had to figure out like SMH and FML and RN, like now you know, upside down smiley face. Where does end us being silly / quiet desperation?
Almost had me buying a pizza oven there.
Dude, I'm buying a pizza oven.
All right, let's get to the feedback at itsthing.me. Manny, a THD, doctor of thingology, wrote in with a wedding thing. Manny says, this is perhaps the craziest thing that I have ever come across. And like crazy things these days, it has to do with content creators at the end of the pandemic, quote unquote end. He put end in quotation marks in case you were worried. Part of this trend is that people are having many more weddings now that those are allowed again. Nothing earth shattering. I believe you guys actually covered this. What makes it so weird is that when people are having weddings, they are inviting their favorite content creators to come. And they actually do.
What?
I first noticed this with a TikTok creator, youth pastor Ryan, who went to like 3 weddings where he didn't know anyone there personally. That could just be a one-off when I heard about the same thing from a totally different creator on a different platform. I knew it had to be more. One wild thing is alone. 2 could be a coincidence, but a quick Google. And 3 strikes, you're a thing. It is probably on the rise, so I'll leave the verification of the thing up to you.
3 strikes, you're a thing. I mean, that's so totally true.
That's so good. Yeah.
Also, wow.
So we're looking for thing formation. Yeah. Anybody else out there?
Have any of you had a wedding and invited a creator?
Yeah,
and
been at a wedding. Been at a wedding. Yeah, showed up.
Wow. The thirst for fame is really a dark part of our timeline for real.
Thirst is the word. Yeah.
Real.
There is a fame drought.
A thing combination confirmation, a thing check request, and a posit all from one person, Vince, who says, 1, on the topic of miniatures, my daughter has been into these for about a year and discovered them on Tumblr, her preferred social media platform. What?
Tumblr's back. I've been hearing rumblings about this, so I think I can thing firm that one for Vince.
That's amazing. And then 2, a request for a thing check. Is Ray Dunn a new thing, or has it just finally made it to my part of the world? I wasn't sure what this was until producer Rich usefully put in buydunn.com. And sure frick enough, if you've seen all those jars everywhere that are so outrageously cute and are always backed by fairy lights and that say flour and snack and beans and cake and prep, those are Ray Dunn items.
It's like the thin handwriting, right? Block letter kind of thing.
Like thin, kind of spindly and super cottage looking. I mean, this is like cottage core galore.
I did not know that was called Ray Dunn.
I didn't know this was by a single designer. Yeah, I had no clue. I just
definitely
thought it was like
a thing, though, Vince. Definitely.
A look, and dude, such a thing. And thank you for telling us who makes all that stuff. And then says Vince, finally, I'll leave you with a thought. While I agree Lunchables are potentially a cause of the bento box thing, I'm convinced Lunchables are the foundation on which the current charcuterie board obsession is built.
Oh, yeah, this is how cladistics work, right?
So
You trace back the common elements in the current species, and you find the common ancestor that gave rise to them both. Vince,
I mean,
it's brilliant.
That is incredible. The common ancestor is the Lunchable.
Yes,
What and other sentences you will only ever hear on this show.
What else is in the Lunchable family tree? I can't wait to discover.
Char Marie says that Ray Dunn had been a thing, and now Ray Dunn hate is a thing. Which,
oh, we're already into that, yeah, aren't we? Okay, good to know. Yeah,
I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Joe Hood on a thing said, so I saw a thing on my vacation that I didn't mention because it seemed odd and too unique to be a real thing. A bridal shower had written on the back of the SUV they were road tripping in, buy the bride a drink, and then at Venmo username. But now I have seen it written on several cars in celebratory chalk markers. A couple for high school seniors starting the year and trying to get money from random people. One on a minivan, evidently heading toward a sporting event because it said, give the coach a coffee at Venmo account. I know car decoration is definitely a thing, especially among the travel sports families. So I guess an extension of that is asking for Venmo donations by writing on your car. Also, wow. I am responsible for the daddy thing notification. While I normally clamor for credit when I deserve it, I was fine just hiding in obscurity on this one.
sorry to drag you out in the open on that one, Joe. I mean, honestly, like just brazenly asking for money for any damn reason really is also a thing.
Well, and
but
this,
dang, I just like rolling your Venmo out on cars is amazing.
But it's kind of harmless, right? Like all people can do with your Venmo account is send you money.
Right.
And it's totally. Like, hey, you don't have to. I'm not bugging you. I'm just putting it out there, like, buy the coach a coffee. I could absolutely see this working in small towns where people are like, oh, you know what? Coach O'Boyle's been doing a great job this year. I'll send Coach O'Boyle a coffee. Why not?
Oh, wow.
As long as it's actually 100%. The coach's Venmo.
100%. Wow. Mark writes in on a decor thing, longtime listener, first time emailer, y'all. Woo woo! And says, seeing a lot of these up in Canada, are welcome boards a thing? And this is a super cutesy, Ray Dunn-esque, Michael style leaning piece of wood next to a board that says, welcome, in roughly the same style as Live, Laugh, Love.
Yeah, that is definitely in the ballpark of all that. Have you seen those?
I've seen the welcome board. Mm-hmm. Only in like on Zillow. Like it's like staging kind of, but okay. It is right there. 100%.
In our house, we have three rules, is what you find when you walk into that house that has the welcome board outside.
Oh, got it. Totally. Well, it is. It's like, smile yeah. harder, uh-huh. smile so much your teeth dry out.
Yay. Would you like some wine? Two emails on umbrellas. I mean, when it rains, it pours. Vaughn wrote in.
Oh, wow.
Regarding sun umbrellas, when I went to college in the 2000s, we had a lot of foreign students, African, Asian, etc., and this was something they did regularly. We were in Pensacola. They would use a rain umbrella to shield themselves from the sun. All right. Makes sense. Maybe that's the root of this trend I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Nancy followed up on this, said, I have also noticed the umbrellas here in Boston and cheered ladies on for hiding from the sun. I do want to mention that pale skin has been a flashpoint for a lot of cultures. Darker skinned Asian ethnicities have traditionally been deemed less attractive or less socially acceptable. It's great to hide from the sun for heat, skin cancer reasons, but traditionally parasols were signals of wealth, just like pale skin. People who didn't have to work, be in the sun, etc.
Oh, good one. Definitely. Yep. Love it. So much good feedback this week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep it coming. Feedback at it. It's a thing.me. Feedback. Yeah, it's a thing.me.
That's
I got
place.
It. I did
it's
it.
It's a thing.me. And then you put feedback right in front of it.
Right in front of it.
And then you got our email address.
Just right in front of it. Right
it's a little
there.
DIY. We deconstructed the email address. That's the free way to support the show. If that's all you got, we'll take it. Send us an email.
We will.
Cost you nothing. Well, nothing additional. You're already paying for your internet anyway, right? So,
yes.
Yeah. However, if you do, if you're like, I've made it big. I've got money to burn. I'm Venmoing Coach O'Boyle a coffee right now. You can back us on our Patreon, and at our top level, if you're like somebody who's just, you know, wants to support the show, you get shouted out on every single show.
Every single show. And not just like we say your name. No. Like in the way where our producer custom crafts an artisanal small batch shout out just for you based on some theme with varying levels of obscurity. And I actually think that today's theme, we're stalling because we know it's going to start a fight. This yes. one has controversy.
The virtuous circle might end here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So the shout outs today are based on the titles of Star Trek films ranked in order of watchability.
I mean, if you'd stopped at Star Trek films, we would have had no problem, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. In order of watchability, according to producer Rich, and maybe somewhere else on the internet.
Who's doubling down in our Discord right now in all caps. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitive, he says.
It's definitive, he says. There is no controversy. Shall we begin?
Let's do it. I think most people won't be upset with how it starts. We'll see how you feel how it ends. It starts with Star Trek II, The Wrath of Jake Woods.
Followed by Eric Duncan, The Voyage Home.
Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Gabriel Cohen.
Lee Price, The Motion Picture.
Kevin Sill, First Contact.
Benjamin Forrest, Into Darkness.
Star Trek III, The Search for Louis Saint-Amour.
Joe Hood, Generations.
Oh. Mike Akins, The Final Frontier.
That was the most stressful thing I've ever done. I can't believe we just delivered this baby out in the world, and then now we're just cutting it loose to see what happens.
It's shrouded in our top supporters' names.
At least we were sort of sneaky about it and made it
at least
our top supporters.
We've taken the people who support us at the top level of our Patreon and made them cover.
For this declaration of war, this absolutely naked declaration of war.
Generations so down, so far down, Rich. I don't know.
Wow. The motion
Star Trek VI, number 3. Okay.
Dang. Okay. All right. So patreon.com/itsathing is where you can support us if you too would like to become a pawn in a giant world war.
Next week,
we are
best
grateful.
Star Wars movies in order.
For your support. Oh my goodness. feedback@itsathing.me. Can't wait to read that email. See you
Thanks,
next week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.